In Luke chapter 9, verse 58, Jesus said this, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus may not have had a permanent house when he was here on earth, but he was sent to a home where he had a mother and father who loved him and cared for him. That's a home as opposed to a house. We need to work on our homes, not on our houses as much. Mary is a role model, really, for all of you ladies. This morning, I'm going to preach about her, and I'm going to pull the points right from the passages. But I want you ladies in particular to listen. Of course, we men are listening in because there are always things that we can learn as well. But she is certainly a role model for all ladies. I sometimes think in some of our churches, Bible-believing churches, we don't preach enough on Mary. You know, we do at Christmas time, but that's about it. And so I thought, well, you know what? Mary, the mother of Jesus, what better subject for a Mother's Day? Now, why was she a good mother? I'll sum it up in one word, and then we'll look at the verses. Obedience. Mary was obedient in her life, and that made all the difference. Would you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Verse 26. My first thought is this. I want you to notice that Mary kept herself morally pure. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin. Stop right there. Because it will later in the verse say, the virgin's name was Mary. I hear all the time people say, the Virgin Mary, as if that's her name. That's not her name. Her name is Mary, and she was a virgin. And there's a difference. The emphasis here is that Mary, being a virgin, being a pure, godly woman morally, that is not just for Mary, the mother of Jesus. That is for all of you ladies, to keep yourselves morally pure. I think we sometimes, in these days, are getting away from some of the basic Bible truths. Now, put your finger here, because we're going to come back. But I want you to see 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Would you turn there? 1 Corinthians 6. We're talking about the fact that Mary kept herself morally pure. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13. The last part. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In other words, sexual immorality is never right. Our bodies, this verse says, were not made for that, but for the Lord. And the Lord wants to fill our bodies with himself. Let me read on. Verse 14. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ, then shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh, and that's through sexual relationship. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Verse 18, a good verse to underline. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Once again, let me paraphrase. That is why God says, that is why I say, run from sexual immorality, sexual sin. Because no other sin affects the body like this one does. Now listen to that. No other sin affects the body like this one does. Because, he says, if we commit sexual immorality, our body becomes the subject of sin, not just the instrument of sin. And it changes who we are. So I want to just now talk outside my notes. Ladies, let me say something to you. If you have kept yourself pure, let them say whatever they want. You're not being self-righteous. You're not thinking you're better than somebody else is. I want to thank you. I mean, I don't know your personal life, but I know there are probably some young ladies sitting here saying, well, I know, I just have made a decision. I'm not going to do that because I know I'm a Christian, but my friends think that. I don't care what your friends think. I care what God thinks. Amen. And I was taught as a young man to keep myself pure. And it can be done by God's grace and through His power and through His strength. So, young ladies, if I were you, make that decision right now. You say, well, I'm only in the fifth grade, or I'm only in the whatever. Make the decision now. You know who you are. You're a Christian. You know what God's holy word says. You keep yourself pure and save yourself. If the Lord has marriage for you, you will give that as a gift to your husband. Flee. Run from sexual immorality. That means if the crowd is going out to a particular place and you know that that's going to be a place of temptation for you, just don't go. Just tell them you're not going to go. So I want to thank all of you young ladies. I shouldn't say just young, older ladies as well. If you have obeyed God and kept yourself pure, now I need to add something, because someone's sitting here saying, that's not me. What do you do? If you don't know this verse, take home with you today 1 John, not the Gospel of John, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just. We aren't, but He is, to forgive us our sins. And get this, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have the opportunity as God's child to confess your sins to the Lord, and get this, He'll cleanse you. He'll make you pure again. I don't know anybody who can offer you that. You say, but I've already, stop. He said, I will cleanse you. You're cleansed, and you are now righteous in His eyes again. So you go take care of that in your private life, and then just make a commitment. You know what, Lord, from here on out, I'm going to live my life like Mary did. Thank you. I have a second thought. Mary married a believer. Go back to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, he was of the house of David. We learn from that that she was espoused or betrothed to a man who was of the house of David. He was a man, a Jewish man, from a particular family and house, the house of David. This was a man who believed the scriptures. We will see that that's what he obeys. Mary was betrothed to a man who was a believer, another Jewish man of the same tribe. She was a daughter of Heli of the tribe of Judah and the family of David. That's interesting. She married the right man because both of them were from the right tribe for the Messiah to come through to this world. The right people got married. If they had been of a different tribe, it doesn't mean they couldn't have been a godly people, but the Messiah could not have come through them. But she married a man of the right tribe. Now, when I perform wedding ceremonies, and you will hear me, if I'm here long enough to marry people, and I already have some scheduled, you will see that during the ceremony at some point, I most always say to the man and the woman, I'll look at him and I will say, you need to remember something. I don't want you to forget this. According to the Bible, you are picturing Jesus Christ. Do you want to know how you're supposed to treat her? Just like Jesus would. And I look at her and I say, you picture the church. Should you love your husband? Yeah. Yes, because we, as a part of the church, love the Lord for what he's done for us. And so I emphasize to them the sacredness of the marriage institution. I am committed to it. I am committed to the sanctity of marriage. In this day and age, in America, of all things, we as Christians should commit ourselves to the institution of marriage. Why? Because the most frequently used illustration of God's relationship to us is the bride and bridegroom. Jesus is the bridegroom. We, the church, are the bride. He says, just like the bride and groom have a relationship, that's what my relationship to you is. Oh my goodness. The institution of marriage is sacred because it pictures us in our relationship to God. What could be more important than that? And so we need to get back to emphasizing the sacredness of marriage. Footnote. Just because you live together doesn't make you married. In fact, I'll go a step further. In the state of Florida, unlike some states, there is no such thing as common law marriage. Because sometimes people have said to me, well, we've been together a long time. I mean, we really are married. No, there's no common law marriage in Florida. In some states, if you live together a certain number of years, you're legally married. You're not in Florida. You're still just living together. The Bible teaches the sacredness of the institution of marriage. Let's not forget that. Number three. Not only was Mary a woman who kept herself morally pure, she married a believer. Mary was obedient even when she did not fully understand her circumstances. This is interesting. You're in Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Or, how can I have a baby, since I know that I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "Because the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God." Interesting. God explains through the angel that the Holy Spirit, Mary, will hover over you, will come over you and produce a child. That is exactly the terminology used in the book of Genesis when the Holy Spirit moved, same word, upon the face of the waters and created. What God just said to Mary is, just like God says, just like I created in the Old Testament the world, I will create this child without a human father, because he already has a father. And then we read on. "Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing is impossible." Verse 38. "And Mary said, 'Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." You know what Mary just said? "I am the Lord's servant, and I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do, even though I don't understand it." Now, have you ever been there? Look, all of us at some time or another, I mean, come on, with all the circumstances we face, I mean, I've had enough of them this weekend myself, but I'm still committed to this holy book that God does what is right. He knows. And all things fit into his purposes and plans. I get that. Even if I don't understand why. Because I'm no different than you. You had some point in your life, "I don't understand why the Lord would allow." That's the way we usually put it. We don't want to indict the Lord, but why would he allow it? Mary says, "I don't understand this, but I'm his child, I'm his servant, and I'll do whatever he wants me to do, even if it's not easy." Wow. And so for her, she says, "You know, I don't understand all this." By the way, let us remember something. Mary was not married to Joseph when she found out she was expecting. You say, I thought she was. No, they weren't married. They were betrothed. That is a particular Jewish custom or institution. Let me tell you what it is quickly. A betrothal is where a man and woman go before the court and sign a legal contract and make a payment that they're going to be betrothed to each other. They're called husband and wife. Get this. You had to get a divorce to get out of it. Hang on. But the two people do not consummate the marriage relationship. They do not have physical relations. They sign the contract, the payment's made, and he goes back to his house, and now he's going to has up to a year to prepare a house for her. And then he will come and take her to himself, and they will get married. And then they will consummate the marriage. She was in the betrothal period. That's why she says, I mean, I don't get how can this be, because I've kept myself pure. Because during the betrothal period, the two people who made the commitment, now remember, they're not married, they're betrothed. The two people are to keep themselves morally pure for their partner. She did. All the more reason when she finds out, I'm expecting. What is he going to think? I don't understand this, Lord. And how am I going to explain this? I'm going to tell him. So the Lord, of course, communicates with Joseph. What a powerful message. By the way, listen to this part. I'll just read it to you quickly. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, there it is, not married, but betrothed, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, did not want to make her a public example. He didn't want to humiliate her. Was minded to put her away privately. What does he mean, put her away? Divorce her. She was supposed to keep herself pure for our marriage. She didn't. But while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins, and so forth. Now get this. So Joseph, awakening from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her. That means did not have sex with her, till she brought forth her firstborn son. Till she brought forth her firstborn son, she was not a perpetual virgin. That's clear. When she got married, they had sexual relations. But he kept himself pure. So guys, on Mother's Day, I have a message for you. Keep your life pure. Because that's what God's Word teaches. I have a fourth thought, finally. Remember when Jesus was crucified? Sure. I want to take you to the cross this morning, and I want you to see something. Because as Jesus hung on that cross, guess who, we are told, is standing in the group around the cross? Mary, his mother. Would you turn to John 19? The Gospel of John, chapter 19. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. But his mother was standing at the cross. Now, can you imagine the pain that she went through? She's standing right there. They have ripped his face apart. No artist has ever painted the crucifixion the way it really was. I won't digress into that, but I'm telling you, Jesus was an emaciated mess hanging on the cross. Isaiah the prophet says you couldn't even tell it was a human face. He was so beaten and bruised and bloodied and torn apart. Then they hung him up there. And his sweet mother is standing there looking at her son. Well, I tell you, that speaks to your heart. She stood right there by the cross. I think that's what Simeon meant when Jesus was 40 days old and Mary and Joseph took him to be dedicated. Simeon said, "A sword will pierce through your heart, Mary, and through your soul." And I think he was referring to the fact that of the crucifixion. But let me tell you another verse that strikes me. Listen to John 8:41. Jesus said to the people, "The way you people are living and the hypocrisy that I see, you are doing the deeds of your father, the devil." Get their response. "Oh, really? So we're doing the deeds of the devil? Well, let me tell you something. We weren't born of fornication like you. We know your mother was an illegitimate slut. And you're accusing us of being immoral?" Oh my goodness. And in that passage, if that's the only passage we have, that tells us that the society at that time thought Mary had been immoral. And that's what she lived with. Mary lived her life with many people thinking that she wasn't pure at all. And then she tries to explain it. Right. "We weren't born of fornication like you." God bless her. But she wasn't afraid to stand at the cross with Jesus. And then it says in John 19, verse 26. This is tender. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," that's John, "standing by," Jesus speaks to his mother from the cross. We don't often preach from this. He says to his mother as he looks down from the cross, "Woman, behold your son." And then John, the disciples, or then he said to the disciple John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple John took her, Mary, to his own home. Jesus looked down from the cross. He saw his mother with a broken heart and said to John, "John, I want you to take care of my mother because I'm not going to be here for her." And the Bible says John took Mary to his own home. So Jesus provided for his sweet mother all the way to the end. It's almost as if Jesus looked at John and said, "Hey, John, I'm taking your place up here on the cross. Would you take my place and care for my mother?" How sweet is that? And so, Lord, the Lord cares for us in one way or another. And you know what, ladies? The Lord will care for you. I don't care what you're going through, whatever the difficulty, I tell you, the Lord will care for you. You just need to stay near the cross. And you already can figure this out. If we're going to sing a song, we're going to sing near the cross. Okay? Would you come, Lee? Let's sing together.